Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you the Diana Montford Show. Greetings and welcome, Diana. How are you today?
I have a cold, and I may sound stranger than usual, but just fine. By the way, I'm Diana Montford, the world's first transgender television journalist. If I had a nickel for every time I've had to say that. But anyway, the other members of the Diana Montford Show triumvirate are, in alphabetical order, Ms. Catherine Platine, well-known feminist and transgender activist. Hi there.
Hello. Hello.
And attorney, New York State politician and transgender activist, Ms. Joanne Principale. Hi.
Hey there. How's everybody?
Wow, hanging in there.
Yeah, hanging in
there.
That's
great.
So what's going on in the transgender wars this week?
I don't really live in trans land that much, so I don't know other than what shows up on the Aaron in the Morning thing, which is...
Well, how about you, Joanne? Got any news?
Well, sure. We've been getting a trend of lower courts striking down these strange laws in these red states, and then appellate courts reinstating these laws, which is not very cool. Of course, that's because of all those Trump appointees and the federal courts. And what they're doing is they're setting up appeals to the Supreme Court, the courts that are holding against things like medical care for trans people, whether they're children or for adults. They're citing the abortion decision. The fact that the Supreme Court doesn't think that people should have a right to privacy.
But doesn't that run contrary to the 14th Amendment?
The problem is that you take the 14th Amendment, you take all the little other bits and pieces that the courts had previously, started stringing together from the 1950s. So we've had, 70 years of precedent that led to, including Roe v. Wade, that led to the situation where the court had to affirmatively reverse Roe v. Wade and pretty much scuttle all of that old case law. And that can really impact things, including our rights to be able to get medical care or people's right to marry, and not just us. But people of different races.
Yeah,
well,
where would
they say,
Clarence
Thomas
and his Caucasian wife?
Well, hopefully they'll get caught up.
The thing is that if they're being ideologically pure in their idiotic way, they would just go ahead and do that and save Clarence Thomas the necessity of getting a divorce.
Okay, but they might also do away with the Emancipation Proclamation and other advances.
Well, there's certain things they can't do, but, if the Supreme Court does act in a way that says that we don't have our personal autonomy, then we'll be looking at the equivalent, the modern equivalent of the Dred Scott decision, where the Supreme Court...
brings up an interesting point that I've been talking...
Well, wait, let Joanne explain the Dred Scott decision. Just explain
Sure. The Dred Scott decision came before the Civil War. The Supreme Court Chief Justice Roger Taney had... made the decision, he wrote the opinion, that not only were the states that were trying to enforce the Fugitive Slave Act able to get their former slaves back and bring them back into slavery, but that black people were not entitled to be citizens of America. And the thing is even though that case, you know, was overturned by the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, you know, later on, America decided to do the same thing to Asians, particularly Chinese.
Chinese people
were not allowed to become citizens for so many years. And we sent Japanese American citizens to concentration camps. And this is America.
Enough, that was presented at the time as a safety measure for the Japanese Americans.
Having your property confiscated, your farm, if you had a farm, lost, and all your property gone.
Well, it was
And you get sent to a camp in Texas without air conditioning. I'm sorry. That is like being sent to hell.
Yes.
Texas is close to hell, yes. I would agree with that.
Most people didn't have air conditioning then. The Star Trek actor, George Takei, was in a camp as a child.
Yes.
And has spoken and written extensively about it.
Yes,
exactly. And this is America.
Well, America.
Do you think
they
will
do that
to us?
This is the America that we're returning to. And we're the first ones on the hit list.
We are, yes, absolutely. In fact, that was the point I was going to make, is that for years I've talked about the divisions of this country leading to a balkanization. But for all practical purposes, that already exists for trans people because we cannot travel freely and safely through two-thirds of this United States at this point. So
that is true.
Arguably, we're not full citizens. And if we're not full citizens, then, you know, that begs the question as to what are our obligations towards a government that doesn't support us, which is one.
And historically, that is what has happened to African Americans. That's why, just for traveling, you mentioned traveling, they had that Green Book.
The Green Book,
There was a similar book. There were similar books like that. For Jewish Americans, you know, where is it safe to stay if you're Jewish? And this is because of all the anti-Semitism out there, all the racism out there, and of course the cissexism out there, the whole idea of being anti-trans anything, and it doesn't really matter whether we've had surgery or not; they're treating us all the same.
Yes, basically, they're no longer putting that into the equation. It's just,
except
you know.
Utah's proposal, from what I understand, actually makes a distinction. So people who are post-op might still be safe in Utah.
Well, the problem with these laws is that they don't just affect trans people. You know, butch women wind up getting dragged into this, and effeminate men get dragged into it, and wind up being ancillary victims to these laws, which are, some of them are getting very draconian in nature. Really, really, really. I mean, you know, years in jail per... It really shouldn't come as a surprise, given the anti-abortion things that have been going on in pretty much the states. But arguably, this is really not America anymore. But then again, was America really America, except for the brief period from the 40s to the 90s?
Yeah. That is true. You know, when they talk about making America great again, which is their MAGA anthem, You're talking about making America racist again, safe for racists, making America, you know, white again, making America Christian, making America – America never really was Christian either, but the whole point is that starting in the 1950s, they started getting all these things, you know, putting the under God into the Pledge of Allegiance, putting in God we trust on the coinage.
Yeah, that
things
was,
like that did not exist before the 50s.
No, and that was because of the Great Red Scare, basically, the godless communists.
Godless communism, yes.
that was the watchword. And we had no shortage of fascists in the 30s prior to our entry into World War II as well. And, you know, that, in fact, it was kind of a crapshoot which way we went at that point.
Exactly.
Is there anything we can do about this for the future? Is there any way we can, in our way, turn back the clock to make America progressive again?
Well, we have to elect the right people.
History is
November. Go ahead, Catherine.
No, history runs in cycles, and unfortunately, we're in the ascension stage of the fascism and the right wing stuff, and that is partially because progressives couldn't get their act together for a long time, and as a result, the intellectual parts of the right wing, and believe it or not, there used to be some of those. Basically set long-term goals, and they have worked very, very diligently towards those goals, and we're now seeing them come to fruition. And so
yeah.
It's going to take a while
this
to get
predated.
Things turned back to them.
Yeah,
now,
predated,
some states have put transgender rights and abortion rights in their constitutions. Can the Supreme mm-hmm. Court negate those amendments?
Yes.
And they can.
Yes, they can.
It's federal supremacy. It's basically...
What if we choose not to obey? What if a state says, no, this is unjust, and we will do what we feel is right?
Then the states that do that will be treated the same way that the Confederate States of America were treated. Because, you know, all of a sudden, if it's a good thing to start saying, states' rights, states' rights, well, you know, when it was a bad thing, we were opposed to states' rights. You know,
it's
an uncomfortable position to take. Hmm?
Okay, the reverse of that was what happened during the 60s when we wound up having to federalize some of the state national guards in order to integrate mm-hmm. in the South. And,
yeah.
You know, that is one of the things that could be done in reverse to us. And we should not lose
exactly.
sight of that.
And the point is that if this election, you know, every 4 years we talk about how the presidential election is, you know, this is the most critical election of our lifetime. And every 4 years it is. And this year it's even more so. Because this time, if the wrong people win, we may never have another election.
Yeah, this might be the last.
Do you think that Trump has a real chance of winning?
I'll be honest with you. I would hope that he doesn't, but he could.
There is a possibility, and because there's another factor that nobody's paying much attention to, and that is the fact that the Russians have spent an awful long time learning how to hack our electoral counting systems. And it is absolutely in Putin's best interest to have Donald Trump win.
And, of course, speaking about Putin, just this past week, he announced publicly that he thinks he'd be better off working with Biden than with Trump, which is such horse hockey, you know?
Biden is reasonable, whereas Trump is a loose cannon.
No,
but Trump obeys Putin.
Trump is an agent. Is Putin's agent. He's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Putin says jump, and Trump says how high. And I mean, and if,
and that was evidence.
Yeah, we have tons of evidence to this. Okay, the Helsinki thing was really should have nailed it for anybody that had any doubts up to that point. When he basically said that he trusted Putin more than he trusted American intelligence services.
Yeah, exactly. Or when he gave the Russians free rein to bug and wiretap the White House.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be treason?
Or when?
He was the president. But when the president does it, it's not treason, apparently.
Apparently. That's his argument anyway.
So,
even the Supreme Court cannot say that the president has complete autonomy and is an autocrat, because then the next Democratic president might have all the Supreme Court members shot, the conservative ones, replace them. And this could go on back and forth.
Yeah. Diana, in this particular case, if they win this election, they might shoot all the Democrats to begin with and just say, well, you know, we're not having any more elections, or what elections we have will be, you can vote for fearless leader, or vote no to fearless leader. And if you vote no, you're going to be getting a visit from friendly people who are going to smash a cyanide pie in your face.
Let me ask you a question. Now, this sounds ridiculous, but a psychic I know told me that there will be no election in November. What does that mean exactly? That there will be a coup or what?
No, it sounds like there'll be a nuclear war before then.
I was going to say that it would take almost a nuclear war to stop that, because a pandemic didn't stop an election. The Civil War didn't stop elections.
And this past week in the news, apparently it wasn't officially confirmed, but apparently Russia has launched nukes into space.
Yeah,
which means that – go ahead, Kathy.
No, they've had kinetic weapons up there for ages and ages and ages. You know, since the 70s, they've had kinetic weapons.
But
the kinetic weapons are almost as effective as nuclear weapons. When you throw a crowbar down and accelerate it, when it hits, it does a tremendous amount of damage.
Oh yeah, there was an American plan. I think it was called Project Thor, something like that, that was using exactly that. When you say crowbars, exactly what they were throwing is something like about the size of a crowbar. And the thing is that relatively small, radius for those things. Though they're basically they're the size of something to take out a tank, and basically you hit a tank with it, the tank is vaporized.
Right, but what they've got now, the Russians apparently are putting up nuclear weapons in space.
Yeah.
Which was the plot of the Space Cowboys movie, if you remember correctly.
Well, it was in 2001, A Space Odyssey as well. There were, at the time, 2001, they were going to be having orbiting nuclear weapons out there, just waiting for the shoe to drop.
Well, yeah. Also, Pan Am was still going to be around too. So,
yeah, of course. And they didn't even make it to 2001. I felt bad about that.
I did too, because I flew Pan Am when I was young, back when I actually got on airplanes. But
you and me both. I stopped flying in 1994.
I in 1989, but I was a TWA girl.
I think my last time I was on an airplane was in 2000 when I went down to Southern Discomfort for the
convention.
I was there for the NTAC board meeting, but yeah, Southern Discomfort Convention.
No, Joanne, excuse me, but now we've discussed this. If there is a right-wing coup, or they win the election, and trans people are truly in danger, you said that all we really have to do is hop a bus or a train to Canada and beg for political asylum.
Yes, well, the point is that that's the thing, and before they close, you have to do it before they close the border.
Well,
kind of like, the way it was in Germany before they, some Jews were able to get away.
Well, it kind of during the Vietnam War, when some draft dodgers were able to get across, there are places where the Canadian border is pretty porous, where it's basically consists of, of woods, and you're not even sure when you're in Canada. Although they do have, they have devices.
Also in New York, there is a Mohawk reservation that is right on the border, and if you can get into the reservation, it's easy to get across.
Because it's an independent nation.
Or for all intents and purposes, but yes, it would be easier to get across if they got to the point where they were northern New York State, between the St. Lawrence Seaway and the I-87 as it goes up towards Montreal.
Well, maybe I can catch a ride with you,
Mohawk Reservation.
A bunch of us can go.
Yeah,
well,
if it came down to it, yeah.
Only a couple of hours by car from my place, so,
Right.
Yeah, well, maybe we might have to organize a group to leave.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have sold my short bus.
Well, I've got a Ford Transit Connect. That's about it.
Okay, well, I used to have the short bus.
It's a shame that we would have to start over again at our ages,
Well, I'm not leaving.
I'm not planning on it, but if it might come down to it that there's no choice.
I'm 74 years old. My choice is I'll make my stand.
Okay. That's fine. I don't have firearms, so I'm not. My idea of making a stand would be to say I regret that I have one life to live for my country, and they would just shoot me. That's it.
Well,
I guess I would do that too.
I've got lots of crossbows and longbows and.
Let's not give them any advance warning here, okay?
Okay.
True.
Forewarned is forearmed.
Wouldn't it be great if we did have forearms?
I don't know. Yeah.
It would
anyway,
be great if we didn't have these fascists taking over the entire world, not just our country, but many others as well.
I still have
that's an excellent point, Diana. The fact that it is not just the United States where the far right is looming. They've taken over. Briefly, they took over Brazil, but Brazil has gotten rid of theirs. Argentina now, India, Hungary, Poland, Italy. There are places where Britain, the Tories are right into the anti-trans agenda spurred on by J.K. Rowling. And so
I don't know
we
what
have
to say.
A lot. There's a lot out there where places that were formerly safe are becoming less safe.
Yeah, it's
well,
part
certainly
of the
U.S.
It's a pendulum thing. I won't be around when the pendulum swings back the other way. Joanne, you might be. You're younger than me. Diana,
not
you probably
much.
Are.
If you're 74, I'm only four years younger than you.
Oh, goddess, I didn't realize.
And
okay.
I'm only 6 years younger than Cassie. So, you know.
Yeah, so,
okay, so
I hit the big 7-0 already.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize you guys were that much, that close to me, but okay.
You know, and look, it doesn't matter. Life is precious, yes, but so is honor. And death before dishonor, you know?
Well, I've lived that way. And I've had a good run.
Yeah, I have too.
I would definitely like to make my 100th birthday, so.
Batteries are going to run out.
I'm not sure I'm going to do it.
My batteries are due to run out in 3 or 4 years. My pacemaker.
What? I've lost enough weight. I right now I'm weighing less than I did when I was 39 years old.
Well, yes,
good for you.
But like I said, I'm doing whatever I can. So if they're putting restrictions on surgical procedures for
medical
trans
care.
People, I might not be able to get new batteries for my pacemaker.
But during COVID,
I'm not laughing.
Well, and there's the law that I happen to know a trans woman who needed a kidney transplant. I had her on my show. Apparently after the age of 67, you are not on the list for transplants. At least this woman wasn't, so I don't know.
And plus, if we're for people who are socially ostracized, so to speak, undesirable. We don't get on these lists.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
We're not, so the thing is that, and the thing, and you find that there's a racial thing, too, in that area. When you talk about kidneys, most of the time you'll find African-Americans sent over for dialysis while white people will get a transplant.
Yeah.
Well, this lady I had on my show was Puerto Rican, which may have had something to do with her inability to access a kidney.
Well, she's brown.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
They get treated like, black and brown, shoot them down. That's what they do.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to just let us die from attrition, because, that way it's not quite as overt.
Does it matter that much? We've had our lives. Does it matter all that much?
Okay.
Well,
In 1996, I think it was, 96 or 97, I went to the Ohio Board of Civil Rights and was told flat out to my face that I did not have any civil rights. Well, I haven't been a first-class citizen in this country most of my life. And a lot of us haven't been. And in my case, my ancestors, some of them came over here in the 1630s. Came over right after the Mayflower.
Catherine is related to the Adams family, not the Goulds, like John Quincy Adams, Abigail Adams. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John Adams. Sam's in there somewhere.
And being an attorney won't help Joanne, and being on television won't help me. If anything, it will make
correct.
Us targets, you know?
Well, I've been a target since I moved to New York, for crying out loud. I wound up having to fight an 8-year legal battle against the town for, basic rights of First Amendment religious rights.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Could we possibly use the religious freedom angle and say we worship the goddess, therefore we wish to be like the goddess, and that is why we have transitioned?
That has more of a chance of getting traction with the Supreme Court than anything. You know that, you know, way back when Antonin Scalia wrote his opinion on religious rights, he limited them because it was Native Americans using peyote, magic mushrooms, and as part of their religion. And Scalia said, no, we don't do that. You have to have, you know, and they basically the law was allowed to be enforced. What happened after that was the Congress said, oh, no, we have to protect religious rights. And they passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the court has been consistent in holding that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act has created a sort of a monstrous super right out of religion, not just for Christians. So,
no,
yes,
no,
there's a distinct possibility.
Because I used the Religious Institutional Act as part of my case against the town of Catskill. They didn't like
it, but
you know, they had a hard time arguing against it because it is, in fact, the law of land. And in New York, at least, thanks to, you can thank the Matrium and myself and my sisters for the fact that minority religions do have equal rights in this state, because that's what our case was all about.
Exactly.
Was equal treatment
so
for minority.
Excuse me. What you're saying then is that our best hope of survival is to found or join a religion devoted to the goddess and do what I've said. Say we so worship the goddess that we have transitioned.
Yes, you can send your donations to Central House at galley.com but via PayPal.
Although you know what, one other thing, and the thing is that there is a component of certain forms of goddess worship that could allow people to earn a living from things that are otherwise
prohibited by law. Yes,
like the
Indian people who show up at weddings. Yes.
Well,
there you go. Or non-reproductive sexual sacrifices.
Well, okay.
Like we cut our nuts off, is that it?
How about the fortune telling?
Well, no, that's, I'm not talking about. No, we're talking about what was when they talk about ritual prostitution. It's really sex as a sacrament.
Right.
Well, that's a stretch for this country, but we can try. Yeah.
Oh no, it went down.
Well, the point is,
Nevada. There was a case that involved exactly that, although, it was really iffy for a while there.
But the legal theories behind it should work.
They should,
particularly.
But Joanne, you know as well as I do that the law doesn't mean diddly squat when somebody has a little bit of power and wants to say it doesn't.
Yep. That's correct. That is exactly how I grew up thinking that, the rule of law was important. In actual fact, it seems that all you need to do is have some educated gobbledygook, written that says, oh, the law really means this, and all of a sudden it means the exact opposite of what it should mean.
Exactly.
Do you think that the Dobbs decision outlawing abortion and leaving it to the states will impact the Republican chances of winning? Don't you think that young women everywhere will be so furious that they will make sure to vote Democratic?
When the decision came out, yes. But the election is like a couple of years afterwards, and the court has held back on doing some of the worst things it could have done already to reinforce that. So
yes,
People are going to be they're going to be voting for the price of gasoline. They're going to be voting for the so-called migrant crisis. They're going to be voting for. There's a whole lot of things that the far right is very united about,
and we're talking.
That's already 40+% of the country. When you add they think they have a winner. I don't think they do, but they think they have a winner with their anti-trans stuff. And the thing is that their propaganda is slick. It is written by the best ad agencies. They are going after first little children, and they're succeeding.
Yes, they are.
They're claiming to protect kids when they're assaulting the kids. We don't want little children to have surgical. No, little children aren't getting surgical procedures.
Little children were never getting surgery. No surgeon in America will do gender-affirming surgery except on intersex babies.
Except on babies.
18 at least, minimum.
Yes, but I knew a doctor here in New York who unknowingly operated on a 13-year-old thinking that person was over 18, and he lost his license.
Yeah, and that's why most surgeons are very careful.
Yeah.
So it's a non-issue. It's always been a non-issue. But it makes it
really, really, really.
One at a time, ladies.
Yes, I know. They are not outlawing rhinoplasties. I have not heard about nose jobs being, and you know that 12 and 13-year-old girls get nose jobs, hundreds of thousands of them every year in America.
My own mother at 19, so there you go.
So the point is
that... And that was in 1948.
And that's life-altering surgery. Why shouldn't they be adults too?
Yeah, but and many many children get puberty blockers for non-trans reasons. So it's clearly in violation of the 14th Amendment to forbid puberty blockers to trans children, but not to other children. Isn't it?
No.
The point is that they're saying that they're protecting the children when they deny it.
And that's all that anybody...
that's their argument.
And that's all anybody hears. It's an incredibly effective argument.
And that's what's taking... People who know absolutely nothing about trans people are believing the false propaganda. And so they're actually moving the meter.
Yes, they are.
Speaking about meters. They are moving the meter, and they're making it hard for us to to be able to combat it.
It's very difficult sometimes because even when the New York Times is putting out crummy articles that, have no fact. But they sound good.
Oh, they've been doing that. The Times has been doing that for 20 years.
Yeah.
Even when our friend Ms. Cartwright worked there, they were not very trans-friendly.
Maybe, but they treated me pretty good on my case. I got interviewed by them.
Well, yeah, that was a religious freedom thing. Oh, I had a beautiful picture of me in the front page of the Times in 2006, but in the article they libeled me.
Oh, okay. Well, they didn't libel me because they liked my quote, which was, "We're like Catholic nuns, only we didn't lie about having sex." So they liked that one because they got it.
What do you think we should do for the future? The religious angle to protect ourselves or what?
Hey, I'm all for it.
I'm thinking of relocating first to Canada and then either to the Netherlands or to Ireland.
Take me with you?
I'll be happy.
I'm staying. I'm staying with open eyes. I know what happened to the people who stayed in Europe
you know, in the late 30s, and I realized that, you know, but I feel like, okay, you know, I don't have a lot to offer Canada, you know, in terms of an immigration anyway, other than just seeking asylum.
Yeah. But it's asylum, so it's slightly different rules. It's not like they need us there to increase their economy. They would be doing
something to add to this. In the late 1930s, my grandparents and mother escaped the Spanish Civil War. My grandfather was a famous Spanish politician and jurist. He was a Supreme Court justice and a member of parliament before that. So they went all over South America, and then they came here. And they were given political asylum by the Roosevelt administration. Now, my grandfather was really sick. He was addled by strokes. He was diabetic, type 2 diabetes. And so he had a series mm-hmm. of strokes. He was, for all intents and purposes, useless as what he had been, a thinker. My grandmother had a teaching license,
right.
but it was way out of date and in Spain, so that didn't work. And so really, basically, they were pretty much worthless to this country, yet they were given asylum. Would we be that
yes.
lucky in other countries?
At places like Canada, yes.
Yeah. Well, remember, it was a big plus back then that if you weren't Jewish, because we weren't letting a lot of Jewish people into the country.
Well,
we
weren't Jewish. We're Catholic.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you know, the people fleeing, you know, in the 30s, basically, if they were Jewish, then we had all kinds of caps on how many Jews could immigrate to the United States. So, you know, we weren't exactly a bastion of freedom right then, any more than we are right now for all the people fleeing from all the oppression in South America. And the irony of it is that they just did an analysis on, you know, the growth in America basically laid right at the feet of the fact that we have, you know, so many immigrants coming into the country. They are basically keeping our economy in better shape than almost anywhere else in the world. But we still have to demonize them. So,
well, isn't that a racial thing because they are of South American descent for the most part, and they are darker skinned? They are being demonized for that reason?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's racist. It's pure racism.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. You know, we discriminate against Puerto Ricans in this country. Puerto Rico is technically a part of the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
There should be absolutely freedom of movement between Puerto Rico and the continental United States. But there isn't, not practically speaking.
But they're not allowed to vote in presidential elections, are they?
No, no. If they live in New York or some other place, yes, they can vote. And Puerto Rican citizens are full citizens. But if they're living in Puerto Rico, they cannot vote for president.
Yeah.
If you live in Guam, you don't get to vote for president.
Yeah.
You don't have an electoral vote.
Yeah.
So Guam, Puerto Rico, other territories of the United States.
Excuse me. What if you're an American soldier stationed in Puerto Rico or Guam?
Your residence is your home. You get to do an absentee ballot in your home state.
Yes. That's how they get around
that. Okay, now, Joanne, I'm going to remind you, if we have to run, you said you'd take me with you.
Yeah, you can come with me. You know, just remember, if we're staying somewhere where there's no smoking.
I'm pretty much giving that up, given the fact that I have a terrible cold. These coughs are cold coughs. So I'm really getting ready to let go of smoking.
That's a good thing.
For my health, not for, you know, reasons of escape or anything.
I smoked for 60 years and managed to quit, so you can do it.
I know I can. I've only had two today.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, no, I know I can do it.
Of course, I haven't.
But, yeah, I'm so cold-ridden, you bet I'm going to do it. God knows. And at my age, you know, it's dangerous. So let's hope I didn't kill my lungs doing it for since 1968 when I was 12. But anyway, I hope we won't have to run away or stay in sight. But who knows what the future will bring. Any closing words?
Basically, just keep the faith, and that might be our saving grace, is keeping the faith, as it were. I would encourage people to realize that although the left has always been very slow to do it, you know, the push towards all these extra rights for religion, you know, can be used as legal jujitsu by minority religions. And we've discussed how the Church of Satan has done that in the past. And
with which we have no affiliation, I might add.
We have no. I have no affiliation with them whatsoever, although I got to tell you, some of their political activism I am very, very in awe of.
Yes, but watch it, because people think we transphobe are nuts and Satanists and all sorts of things, which we are not.
Well, it's because there was a group in New York City that was like that. They were self-proclaimed vampires.
I know. Let's not even go there, please. You're not doing our cause any favors with this stuff. You know?
Yeah, okay. I know that one, too.
Yes,
now,
you know.
Yeah, my nut jobs.
You both know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
we do. Yes, I do. Yes,
Joanne, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, my take on things is that we don't really need to be, while the bleak outcomes that we've been talking about are certainly possible, we still should be accentuating the positive, the fact that they haven't already started. They're putting things in place, but they haven't already started the executions. The same time, in November, if we have success in November and we are able to stave them off, well, that's a good thing. Maybe we'll be able to recover the country. Maybe we'll be able to turn the tide. But the thing is that we have to work at it. We have to do something for it. You know, I don't know exactly what each person out there who may be listening can do, but the thing is that whatever it is that you can do, if it means writing a letter, if it means making a donation, if it means actually running for office, do it. It's not too late.
And opposing gerrymandering. I cannot emphasize strongly how badly we have been screwed by gerrymandering. It is why Republicans managed to stay in power even though they are the minority in so many places.
That is true.
So,
and places like Wisconsin and Michigan, where they rule
things. And even New York.
Well, New York, they finally broke it in New York. Except the New York went over when they tried doing a Democrat gerrymander in New York for Congress. The New York State Court said nope, you can't do that, and so we ended up pretty much losing like three seats that we should have won.
Yeah, exactly.
In New York alone.
But we just got Swazi.
Although one
back.
Of those seats got taken back.
We just
that
took
Santos
one of those
seat.
Back.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now ladies. Let's get your contact information. Catherine, if someone wants to talk to you, how do they get in touch with you?
I am on Facebook, Catherine Platine, and you can reach me by email at Catherine, C-A-T-H-R-Y-N, at Galle, GALLAE.com.
Joanne?
Yes, and for me, again, I'm on Facebook and with my actual name, Joanne Prinzivalli. And And also, I am available by email at Joanne, J-O-A-N-N. There is no E in my spelling of Joanne, so it's J-O-A-N-N. M as in Marie, P as in Prince of Valley, at Outlook.com.
Great. And you can contact me via Hercules, but that might change soon because I've already started to learn to use a cell phone. My next step, the Internet. So there you are.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I noticed I got a couple of calls from you that I had no idea I was getting from you because it was a 347 number.
Well, I'm coming into the 21st century, giving up smoking, doing cell phones, doing the Internet. I have arrived.
I am so glad
that
you
have. Here I am.
We have to get you on Facebook.
I am on Facebook, though. But I can't answer it yet because I don't know how. My dear friend Lucia used to do it, and sadly she passed of long COVID. So I do not know how to do Facebook, but I am on Facebook.
Well, we'll have to teach you how to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Although I am taking lessons. Excuse me. SAGE, Senior Action in a Gay Environment, is wonderful. They give you free lessons in cell phone use, in the Internet. They're wonderful.
Okay, well, good.
Right.
You might even be eligible to get an Obama phone for free.
There you go. So anyway, I will talk to both of you soon. Hercules, how much time do we have?
You have 8 minutes.
See,
okay, anybody want to say anything?
Anything.
I think we're pretty much through. But I guess we should have to fill those minutes.
Well, we can fill those minutes.
Okay, well.
We can fill those minutes.
Well, we could talk about Sneaker Tom.
Who?
What?
What we were talking about earlier, about the $399 sneakers.
Oh, those. Oh, geez. Okay. No.
We shouldn't advertise this creep, you know?
Oh, well, not advertising. We're laughing at it. The whole idea of who is going to buy $400 sneakers from someone who's never, who basically, loves cheeseburgers?
You mean Trump?
Yeah.
Explain the sneakers. As Trump has started a sneaker brand, and they cost $400, and they have a T on them.
Yeah, a big T on them. The whole idea is that this way you can show your pride in MAGA. And help pay his $350 million and $85 million
good luck
judgment.
With that, Donald.
Actually, with interest, he now owes, and the two cases in New York alone, he owes over $500 million.
Isn't that amazing?
And, the question is, are the Saudis going to bail him out or some Russian oligarch?
Maybe Putin will.
Because he can't get a loan in New York. Part of the decision.
Right.
He cannot.
Georgia certainly won't bail him out.
And almost international banking goes through New York, so that means almost any bank in the world.
The Russian oligarchs can send money through the NRA, just like they did in 2016.
Yeah, and we also just Jared Kushner got $2 billion from the Saudis, so it's not unheard of that they will bail him out. But the thing is, and again, a lot of people don't realize this, he has to put up the money in escrow in order to be able to file appeals on these cases.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Either he has to put up the entire amount or he has to have somebody do bond for him.
Yep.
Post bond. Not going to happen.
I don't see that happening, no.
He does not have enough.
Well, maybe Jared will.
No, he does not have enough unencumbered assets to put up as collateral. So, no, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Well, stay tuned, folks, for the continuing soap opera of Trump versus the trans world. And fly Trans World Airlines.
T versus
now, there you
T.
go.
Yep. Yeah. Right here where I live, we have a place called the Trans Center, and except it's a bus depot.
Oh. Well, maybe it's, you know, for the Underground Railroad, the tranny railroad.
Maybe it will be.
There you go. Just make sure you have mascara tubes at each stop. Yeah.
Take a bus to Montreal from there.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that cheerful note, you'll be hearing us every third Saturday of the month from 9 to 10 Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio under the auspices of Hercules Invictus. And that is our show. And we will see you or talk to you next month. Bye.
Bye, and thank you, and welcome to the internet and to the cell phone world, Diana.
Thank you.
And thanks to all our listeners, whether you called in and you're waiting in the queue, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody.